You glad he's God and he has not changed. His name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore here on the Success Radio Network. And we want to say welcome one to welcome to all who have joined us tonight here on another Friday evening for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. First, welcoming our surrounding city and states and our countries near as far, as well as those who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, be able to ask your questions, give your comments, and at the end of the program, even be able to answer our question of the day. Amen. However, right now, we want to open with a word of prayer, get the show started off on the right foot. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, with the 56 countries and all the listeners that we have. We know that your word says, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And Lord Jesus, we ask you now to take the wheel of this here program and have your way and your will, Lord Jesus. We first ask, Lord Jesus, that you would first touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessings so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with the COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first of all, those who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, you could comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are actually dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd be able to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other kinds of situations, just like, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love one another as we love ourselves and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight. So let's take care of these few preliminary announcements as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Townsend. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to contact us via email, you may do so by using one of the following email addresses. If you wish to contact me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, use the email address feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, the letter N as Nancy, then touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, King, like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. If you wish to contact Ruth, you contact her by using the1611ruth@gmail.com. That's again, K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611. R is Randy, U is Umbrella, T is Tom, H is Henry, @gmail.com. In your subject line, just put what you're in reference to you wanting to get a hold of us, whether it's my email address about whatever it may be, or Ruth, you would put Bible prophecy, and then refer in your message to your subject line, and we will not only read your email, but we will get back in contact with you.
Started from humble beginnings in a basement. Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs, the Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover, to Jerusalem with his outreach program. The Holiness Bible Outreach Program. Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel. Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in, we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are. Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, we sure got a lot of good group up there. We got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels, and they're crowded around, but I don't see them, but I know they're here. We have Jim here, and you and me.
All right. Well, we still can give even Jim, as well as our listeners who are called in via the Internet, as well as who's later will be listening, at least a general outline of where we're going to be going tonight. We have tonight, we've been studying out on angels, and specifically the angel of the Lord. And tonight we're going to finish out with part three of the angel of the Lord, and we're going to find out for sure and for certain who the identity of the angel of the Lord is. So we're definitely going to know by the end of tonight who the angel of the Lord is. Now, there's been a lot of conjecture over the years, different people saying, well, it's this, it's Jesus, it's God the Father, it's somebody else in specific, but we will know from Scripture, not what thus said Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, not what thus says Ruth Wolfgang, not what thus said Joe, not what thus says Pastor Bonnet. No, it's what thus says the Word of God as to the identity of the angel of the Lord, who it is. And then after we accomplish working on, we start into it, then we take a pause for Emily's last round tonight on the song with message and song and poem. How does she do? Does she get the good buzzer or the bad buzzer? Does she end up with a end her whole run with a do-do-do-do-do, or does she end up with an eh tonight? And if she gets the bad buzzer, there's still a chance that we may use some sound effects for those who have PTSD and other disorders that you may be having to watch for, because it may trigger episodes. So we just want to forewarn people of that. And then after that, we finish up our study on the angel of the Lord, and we get the identity of him. And then we go into Ruth's Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight, Ruth? All right.
Okay, it's Christ's Government.
Christ's Government. Okay, that sounds pretty good.
That sounds cool, huh?
It sounds a lot better than having some politician in there, a Republican or a Democrat, or even some king who may be faulty.
Right.
This is Christ's Government, so this sounds like something that you might want to hear about the best kind of government there ever is. So Christ's Government is where Ruth will be taking us tonight. Then after that, then we close out as we open up our mics for the question of the day. As we always say, it's based upon opinion, neither a right answer or a wrong answer. It's based upon your own opinion. And then after that, we close with a word of prayer and then end up with, at the very end, our Red Sylvine song as we close the program. Amen.
All right.
All right. So are you ready, Ruth?
Let's hit it.
All right, let's get into our show tonight.
For those of you called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, you'll be able to press number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. If you had an angel you could choose as a hero, which one would it be? If you had an angel you could choose for a hero, which one would it be? But right now we're going to get into our topic of angels, specifically the angel of the Lord, part three. And our first scripture context is found in Zechariah chapter 3,
verses 1 through 7. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is that just a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments.
I got to make you another cup because I think you need a more than that. Would you like a bigger cup?
Saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold,
I have called thine
iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment.
Okay, the windows are shut.
Let them set a fair mire on his head. Then they set a fair mire on his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord.
Oh, did you open my back window? Or?
The angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua.
Yeah, I'm just using I'm hoping to get back in there, too.
Walk in my ways, and thou wilt keep my charge. Then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by.
And here we find the angel of the Lord standing, Joshua, the high priest, standing there in filthy garments, and, of course, Satan standing there to oppose, but yet the angel of the Lord, his word goes out despite what Satan wants to do, and the filthy garments are replaced with good, clean garments. Amen. So now our next scripture context is found in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Zechariah chapter 12. Verses 1 through 8. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like a hearth of a fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angels of the Lord before them.
And here we got one of those end-time prophecies that I'll let Ruthie delve into eventually someday. But it's talking about how that Israel is going to come back to their land, and the city of David will be built back up, and David's kingdom built back up. And yes, even as the angel of the Lord is standing there. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus.
Okay, as we remember in our previous two lessons of the angel of the Lord, he was identified as the great I Am, and the angel of the Lord was the one who was in the fiery burning bush, who Moses spoke to, the Father. God the Father. Now we find the angel of the Lord showing up at the birth of Jesus, telling Joseph to fear not to take Mary as his wife. Now we have to remember, Jesus himself took on the title of I Am. Why? Because Jesus is God the Son, and he's equal to God. So this is going to help us to identify if the angel of the Lord is God the Father or God the Son or both. So we need to read these scriptures here. See, Jesus, not yet born, he was being conceived in the womb when the angel of the Lord appeared. So we find the angel of the Lord appearing to Joseph, telling him to not be afraid to take Mary as his wife. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Matthew 2, verses 9 through 20. Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 20. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And there was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weepeth for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. For when Herod was dead, Behold, an angel of the Lord appears in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life.
And here we find, of course, the angel of the Lord telling Joseph to flee to Egypt and then flee out of Egypt when Herod had finally died. But once again, Jesus is now 2 years old. He's a toddler. He's a young child, as the scripture says, angel of the Lord telling Joseph to go. So we know that Jesus is alive. Now, the spiritual angel could be Jesus, God in the spirit, Jesus. But in order to identify this angel of the Lord, is it Jesus Christ or God the Father? We're going to continue to read through the New Testament to see who the identity of this angel of the Lord is. That's what we're going to do. Amen. And our next scripture context is found in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word.
All right, Ruthie, and one extra verse is always welcome here and there. And we find the angel of the Lord is the one who sat down and rolled away the stone when Jesus was resurrected. Now, you notice something interesting. During Jesus' lifetime, the angel of the Lord was not active. Only at the beginning, during his birth, and at the end, at his resurrection, do we find the angel of the Lord. Very peculiar. I just want you to notice that. And this is borne out also in our next scripture context, which is found in, which of course will be our last scripture before Emily has to guess our message in song and poem, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
And once again, as you notice, at the birth of Christ, we find the angel of the Lord. Here we find the angel of the Lord telling the shepherds about the birth. So we find that's where the angel of the Lord is giving the message. So what we find so far this afternoon, we find that the angel of the Lord, his primary duty in tonight's scriptures was basically to bring a message. Although we have seen in the past that the angel of the Lord, he also had been an angel of war to bring destruction, bring judgment. Also, he was also known to bring messages, and on top of all that, to, of course, give commissions like he did Moses in the burning bush, which where we find he was identified between him in the burning bush and for Samson's parents was identified as the great I Am. So we find so far the identification of the angel of the Lord as the great I Am. And as we've already said too, Jesus taking on the title of I Am, we need to see if this I Am is the Father or the Son. Amen. All right, but now it is time for Emily to give us, on her last attempt, to let us know the meaning, the common message between this song and this poem for the last time. Amen.
Yeah.
My dog is a shepherd, just what I want. She makes me to rise early every morning. She leaves me beside garbage cans and parking meters, and she restores my freedom. She guides me in the path of safety for my life's sake. Neither do I walk through the thunder of the railroad station and among the mongrels of Flagler Street. I will fear no evil, for she is with me. The creak of her harness and the jingle of her collar, they comfort me. She prepares a way for me in the presence of all confusion. She covers my hand with affectionate licks and nibbles, and my love for her runneth over. Surely with affection and correction, I shall follow her all the days of her life, and she will dwell in my heart forever.
All right, Emily, for your last time, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
I believe the message in that song and poem is saying, no matter what your job might be in God's eyes, you still need to abide with him no matter what.
Well, although really good, we're sorry to tell you, you're absolutely wrong. We were looking for, there's comfort in the Psalms, because the song comes from Psalm 15, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, talking about Psalm 15. If you read the whole psalm, it talks about that, comes directly from that. And then the poem is actually a redo of Psalm 23, but this is talking about a guy and his seeing eye dog. So that's a redo of Psalm 23. So there's comfort in the Psalms. Amen.
Well, I'll be nice. Being this is my sweet doing it, I won't blow him up or shoot him or anything. I'll be nice.
How generous of you. All right, all right. So what we'll do then is we're just going to keep you out of the woodshed anyway. And what we'll do is we'll pause to hear about the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolf.
And I'm Emily Bonham.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Now that we're back, I'd like to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, you'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. If you could choose any angel as a hero, which one would you choose? If you could choose any angel as a hero, which one would you choose? But right now, we're going to get back into our study of angels, specifically the angel of the Lord, and we're trying to get the identity pinned down? Is it just Jesus Christ, the I am who is Jesus, or the I am who is the Father? We're trying to pin it down because we're into the New Testament now, and we're trying to pin that down, and by the end of tonight's study, we'll have that pinned down as to which I am is the angel of the Lord. We're going to pin that down completely tonight. Next scripture context is found in Acts chapter 5, verses 17 to 23. Acts chapter 5, verses 17 to 23. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent them to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found, we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within."
And as we have found in previous verses in the Old Testament, once again, even in the New Testament, the angel of the Lord is used for deliverance. And here we find the angel of the Lord delivering the apostles out of the prison house. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 45. Acts chapter 7. Verses 1 through 45. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee and take us there.
"Then said the high priest, 'Are these things so?' And he said, 'Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall shew thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, nor so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he should give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed shall sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place." He gave them the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. Excuse me, and the patriarchs with envy sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now, there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and shame and great affliction. And our fathers found no sustenance. And when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And now the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emer, the father of Shechem. And when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Till another king arose, which knew not Joseph, the same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. At which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came unto his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he shewed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at once again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler or a judge over us? Thou kill me, as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, an angel of the Lord, in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. So Moses whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out. After that, he had shewed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel, which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us, for as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know what come of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it was written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Rephan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as ye had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David.
And here we have proof positive of the angel of the Lord being in that burning bush, speaking to Moses, and, of course, who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush? The I Am. It says very clearly that it was I Am, the God of your fathers. So it is God the Father so far. And as we said, we're going to hold judgment to see if it's also God the Son by the end of this study tonight. But at least we know so far that it's God the Father, the angel of the Lord, at least so far. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 35. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 35. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who should declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
And here we find, of course, the angel of the Lord giving a message and direction to Philip. This is one of his duties. All right. And our next scripture context is found in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 23. Acts chapter 10. Verses 1 through 23. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of your coffee. Take us there.
There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed. He called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up into the house top to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but when they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's health, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter saw on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, "Behold, I am whom ye seek. What is the cause wherewith ye are come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. And call he them in and lodge them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, they called together his kinsmen and their friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him."
And Ruthie just gave us a two extra verses spare, which we'll enjoy. But the main point here is the angel of the Lord comes to Cornelius, once again bringing a message. That's the main thrust here. The angel of the Lord brings a message to Cornelius, saying his alms have come up before God. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 23. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 23. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
"Now about that time, Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring them forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same might Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Okay. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Now when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go shew these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers, which was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him, and found him not, he examined the keepers, and had commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them on Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and laid an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost.
And here we find the angel of the Lord doing two things. One, delivering Peter out of the prison. Number two, smiting Herod, because when he gives his speech and everybody thinks, oh, he's so great, ah, and he gets his head puffed up and filled with pride, not giving God the glory, God, in the form of the angel of the Lord, smites it. And then also, if you noticed in this context, when they supposed Peter, when he got to the gate, they supposed it was Peter's angel. Once again, confirming that each of us have a guardian angel. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Acts chapter 27, verses 21 to 25. Acts chapter 27, verses 21 to 25. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there such be no loss of any man's life among you, but of this ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be given as it was told me.
Now here, you notice it's talking about the angel of God or the angel of the Lord. And you get a little more identity there. He says he serves. He serves God, obviously, God the Father. So, once again, it's still God the Father. It did not say it was Christ the Son, but it did say who he served, which was God. Amen. And our last scripture reference for tonight, and we'll see if we get any difference than what we've studied so far, but our last scripture reference of the day is found in Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 through 21. Revelation 22, verses 6 through 21. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord?
Hold on. Ruth, I think you got the wrong text. We're looking for Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 to 21. Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 through 21. All right. Take us there.
And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to shew unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which shewed me these things. Then said he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which seek the things of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sealings of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
And do you notice something in this context? He says, I will send mine angel. And he says, Jesus, I, Jesus, send mine angel. Now remember, before, the angel of the Lord was in the burning bush, the I Am. Jesus took on the name I Am. So who is the angel of the Lord? It is Jesus Christ and God the Father as God himself. That's who the angel of the Lord is. It is God himself in two distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, in the angel of the Lord. It's one angel, but consisting of the three parts of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So what did we basically learn all night? Well, actually through the three lessons of the angel of the Lord, we did learn that he's there to give messages. We learned I Am was in the bush, and at the end of Revelation, Jesus said, my angel. So we know that it's the Trinity is who the angel of the Lord is, and we find that he brings messages, deliverance, and he's also an angel of warfare, as he did when he battled the Assyrians. Amen. All right. But right now, we want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, to be able to press the number one during the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. If you could choose an angel for a hero, which one would you choose? If you could choose an angel for a hero, which one would you choose? But right now, we're going to pause to hear about a little bit of the programming we have here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID, and we'll be back with you shortly. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver.
You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Started from humble beginnings in a basement. Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs. The Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program, Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel. The Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are there. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait.
Thank you. Holy Bible that tells of a day when the beast should walk among us and many should fall away. And in war and desolation, they should rise in against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
In Christ's government. Prophetically, every Israelite I have ever talked to in my adult life loves God. And strange as it may seem to some of you New Testament Christians, many of them fondly anticipate the coming of their Messiah. I believe I know exactly how they as a nation will feel when they finally realize the awful mistake which the Bible says they have made when they see him whom they pierced. The scripture says, "And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn, grieve for him, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Zechariah 12:10, KJV. The Lord Jesus Christ is to muster the 144,000 Israelites who fled to Petra when they left Jerusalem and the other cities, Matthew 24, verses 15 to 20, and assemble them in the wilderness, and there he will conduct a special judgment for the Israelites, in order they may purge out from among them all the rebels. Scripture says, "And I will cause you to pass under the rod, judgment, and will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me, and will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall enter into the land of Israel, promised land, and they shall know that I am the Lord." Ezekiel 20, verses 37 to 38. Scripture, "But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify, judge the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver. They may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Malachi 3, verses 2 and 3, KJV. These verses tell us that the incorrigible rebels will be purged, just the same as the rebels were purged during the 40 years after the Israelites came out of Egypt under Moses and before they entered into the promised land. So at the second advent of Christ, there will be another purging of the tribes of Israel. After the judgment of the Gentiles, Matthew 25, 31 to 46, Christ enters into the city of Jerusalem to establish the official seat of his government. He has chosen the city of David. Jerusalem is the seat of his government. Christ will actually have a throne and will literally be seated on the throne of government. Scripture, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in his kingdom there shall be no end." Luke 1, 32 to 33, KJV. Christ is not going to take over from British royalty, as some so-called authorities tell us. He's going to sit on the throne of his father David. That portion of Bible prophecy must come to pass exactly as it is written. There will be in the Promised Land area 12 other lesser thrones of importance. Seated on those 12 thrones will be the 12 judges of the 12 tribes of Israel, as it was in the day old days, as mentioned in the book of Judges. Scripture, "And when the Lord raised up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge," Judges 2:18, KJV. Christ will have 12 judges on 12 thrones in the kingdom age, and those 12 judges will be the 12 apostles. The Bible says, Scripture, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye 12 apostles which have followed me in the red generation when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Matthew 19, 28, KJV. You will read verse 27. It tells you that verse 28 is referring to the 12 apostles, because Peter said unto Christ, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we, the 12 apostles, have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Matthew 19, 27. Peter wanted to know what he was going to get in the kingdom age. Christ's answer to Peter's question is Matthew 19, 28, which we have previously seen. So Christ will be ruling from his earthly throne, and the 12 apostles will occupy 12 thrones as 12 judges, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Naturally, the question of Judas being one of the 12 apostles may arise here. After Judas Iscariot committed suicide, two men were nominated to fill the office of apostle. They were Joseph, called Barsabbas, and Matthias. At a business meeting of the church in Jerusalem, an election was held to determine which of the two should become the new apostle. The Bible says, "And they gave forth their lots, ballots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Acts 1, 26, KJV. This portion of Scripture is why I'm convinced that Matthias will be one of the 12 apostles who will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel in the kingdom age. Just think what Judas missed. Judas never was saved, never regenerated. He died a lost man. Christ said, "One of you is a devil." Christ, in his prayer to his heavenly Father, said, "Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition." John 17, 12. So Judas was never born again. Some people say, where did Judas go? Bible tells you he went to his own place. He was a child of perdition. So he went to perdition, hell. He will stay in hell until the white throne judgment convenes. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. But then Judas could have been serving with Jesus Christ in the future earthly kingdom. He could have actually been on one of those thrones, judging one of the tribes of Israel during the 1,000 reign of Christ on the earth. But instead of that, look where he is. He's in the first hell. He went to his own place. He's been in that hell for nearly 2,000 years. If the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is near, as multitudes think it is, then he'll be in that hell for another 1,000 years. That at the end of the millennial reign, that it's a 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, he'll be taken out of the first hell together with all the other ungodly of all ages and appear at the great white throne judgment, be judged, and then cast into the lake of fire where he will remain forever and ever. Scripture, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 15 in your KJV Bible. Why? Because he refused to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Of course, he didn't intend to do what he did. He didn't intend to sell Christ. He had no more intention of that than I have. But you see, he wasn't born again like Peter. Satan desired to have Peter. But Christ says, I have prayed for you. Peter had the prayers of Christ in his behalf. Prayer changes things is very true. Judas didn't have the prayers of Christ. When Judas got the job as treasurer for Christ's evangelistic party, then he started to steal. Just a dime at first, then a dollar, then $5, then he got it to the eye kind of a malignant disease with him because he was desirous for as much money as possible to put in the bag so he could steal the more. That's the way sin begins, very small at first and then becomes a disease, even to consuming the whole man. Person who embezzled a million got his start stealing small amounts. That's why Judas criticized Mary when she broke the alabaster box of perfume and anointed Christ. He said, why this waste? This could have been sold for 300 pence and the money given to the poor. But the Bible says not that he cared about the poor, but that he carried the bag and he was a thief. Well then, stealing and not having Christ to pray for him, one thing led to another until the desire for money got such a grip on him that Satan suggested he could make some real easy money by offering to betray Christ to the Sanhedrin. Just a customary kiss of greeting, it was the common form of greeting each other, a kiss. Please remember, that was Judas's idea, not the Sanhedrin's. It was Judas who made the proposition to them. This proves his heart was not right. Judas asked the question, how much will you give me? He made a deal with them for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a common slave, and he's in hell now. He didn't go to hell because he stole. He went to hell because he rejected Christ. Rejecting Christ is the only sin that will damn a soul. Brother and sister, may I ask you a personal question? Are you rejecting Christ? Don't you realize you'll be where Judas is because that's where it took Judas there. Oh, I beg of you, receive the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Don't delay. Will you do it? You will, won't you? I'm praying you will. Please, please don't let you go to hell. Please find Jesus before it's too late. At Christ's second advent, he establishes his own governmental throne, which was the throne of his forefather David. He also establishes 12 smaller thrones upon which will sit the 12 apostles as competent judges over the 12 tribes of Israel. Then Christ raises his flag over his international headquarters. The Bible says, and he, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall set up an ensign, flag, or banner for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah 11:12, King James Version. And there's to be built in the city of Jerusalem a magnificent temple, the one which Solomon built, according to Western standards, cost a tremendous amount of money. David alone accumulated $4,900 million in gold and silver for that temple. The giant stones for the temple, many of them weighing several tons each, were hewn and shaped at the quarry. The roof was constructed of magnificent beams and sturdy wide planks of Lebanon cedar. The giant cedar trees were floated down the Mediterranean to Joppa, then transported overland to Jerusalem. The floor was laid with cypress. The walls from the floor to the ceiling were lined with overlaid gold. But the fifth temple, the Kingdom Age Temple, which is going to be built in Jerusalem, were much more expensive than the temple built by Solomon. The Bible says, the glory of this latter house, Christ's millennial temple, shall be greater than of the former Solomon's, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace to the world, saith the Lord of hosts. Haggai 2:9 KJV. scripture. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isaiah 2:4, KJV. Much of the gold and the silver of the world will be at that time be gathered to Jerusalem, the scripture says, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts, Haggai 2:7 through 8, KJV. After the war of Armageddon, the Israelites will conquer the world because of the supernatural strength and power which Christ gives unto the Israelites in Jerusalem, as the Bible says. Scripture, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and that he is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Zechariah 12, 8 and 9. The Israelites will be looked upon as a progressive nation of tremendous fighting power. The nations will be very glad to surrender to them their gold and silver, which the Israelites will collect in great abundance. Scripture, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen, other nations round about, shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. Zechariah 14, 14 in KJV. All the surplus of gold, which the Israelites may have in any part of the world, will be brought with them to the Middle East and Jerusalem. Can't you begin to imagine the concentrated wealth of Jews the world over being sent back to Jerusalem to be used in the earthly kingdom of Christ? Please don't laugh, but that's exactly what the Bible says will happen. Whether you know it or not, the Jews control much of this earth's wealth. Scripture, surely the isle shall wait for me and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. Isaiah 60, verse 9, KJV. All the nations of the world shall bring their wealth to Jerusalem. Scripture, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising, building up of Jerusalem. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be answered unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they that from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall shew forth the praises of the Lord. For the nation of the kingdom that shall not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shall suck the breasts of kings. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. Isaiah 60, verse 3, verses 5 and 6, 12, 16, and 17 in your KJV Bible. The city of Jerusalem will become so beautiful and so important that if a person who's born there should travel to some other country, the people in that other country will point to him and say, that man was born in Jerusalem. Because of his noble birthplace, he will be looked upon as a fortunate person. Scripture, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. Psalm 87:5, King James Version. Please let us remember that Christ is coming to Jerusalem with all his glory. You recall when Saul was on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians, for his name was changed from Saul to Paul, a great light shone from heaven, and was so powerful that it blinded Paul. And Paul heard a voice saying, I am Jesus of Nazareth. That same bright, powerful light which Paul says shone above the light of the sun will be the same light constantly illuminate Jerusalem during Christ's earthly reign. In Paul's time, when he was on his way to Damascus, that light was concentrated only on Paul. When it shines on Jerusalem, it will shine on the whole city. The eyes of the people will not be affected, yet the city will have no need of any other light. They'll be able to shut down the municipal light company in Jerusalem. At least Jerusalem will save on fuel during Christ's kingdom age rule. Scripture, then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem before his ancients gloriously. Isaiah 24, 23, King James Version. The shining of that light produced in Saul a worshipful spirit together with meekness and humility. Same thing will be true when the glory of the Lord shall shine upon that great city. The Gentile kings will come to visit Jerusalem and will hurry away in much awed concern when they see the glory of that city, as the scripture says. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is building her palaces for a refuge. For though the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Psalm 48, verses 2 through 6 in KJV. May I ask in closing, is Christ the governor of your life? Is he the supreme being in all your activities? Does he govern and control your thoughts and desires? Does he order your life? Is he king of your thoughts, words, and deeds? If not, won't you surrender right now? Just let go and let God have his way. Please remember, the Apostle Paul gives us instructions as to how we are to live in this wicked world. Whether, therefore, you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, King James Version. Jesus Christ desires to be the king of your life now. The Bible says there's going to come a time when he will be king over all the earth. Scripture, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. Zechariah 14:9, King James Version. And the next lesson will be Days of Noah.
And we thank you, Ruth, for that great information about Christ's government. Amen. But right now we're going to pause to hear about the great programming here at the Success Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Success Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on 6 Eyes Radio. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Bowl program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week, what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Now that we're back, it's that time to... For those, especially of you, who've called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. If you could choose an angel for a hero, which one would you choose? If you could choose an angel for a hero, which one would you choose? It's that time. It's open mic time. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, what we have is a Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels, you, Jim, and Sister Lila with the Salimi.
Okay, and for right now, we know that neither of them are got the number one press. So, all right, we're going to let you start us out, Ruth, with our question of the day.
The only thing I could think of is my guardian angel, and I don't know his or her name. In that case, I think it was a him. Because this guy had to be pushing me up that hill like as if it was nothing. I look back, and he's not there. It's like, okay, it's angel. So I praise the Lord for him.
All right. Well, are you ready to hear who mine would be?
Go ahead.
Of course, it's the easiest one of all, the angel of the Lord. I'd have to say the angel of the Lord. That's the one I would choose as a hero.
God Almighty, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and all angels are together, so that's cool.
Right.
But so, we got a problem. We're six in Master Bonnet. We missed them.
Well, they decided to probably listen to the archives. But, hey, next week, speaking of six, we'll get to see how he does with the song and poem.
starting next week. We see how he does and if he gets the good buzzer or the bad buzzer. All right. Well, Ruthie, what we're going to do is let you close us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to close out with a Red Soul Line song.
Well, Lord, we thank you for the program. And it's been a long day, but, Lord, you've been with us all the way, and hopefully somebody got saved, somebody got healed, whatever their needs were, and I know you'll take care of it, precious. We love you. Amen.
All right, and we just want to remind everybody that tomorrow, of course, is open programming here on Success Radio Network, and then, of course, Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, is the Sunday Gospel Show here on Six Eyes Radio Network. We hope to see you then. And we're closing out here with this Red Soul Vine song, God Bless, and we'll catch you then.
Hear those happy fiddles play. But the love that she once had for me couldn't stand the test of time. Now the fiddles, once so happy, seem to know that she's not mine. I hear those sad violins play softly just for me. And their crying strings just fit the mood I'm in. I don't hear the happy fiddles they used to play for her and me. Now all I hear is sad violins. Now all I hear is sad.